What would you do today if you know this is the last day of your life? You have just one more day to live. What would you do? Now, this is what I would do. I would make sure that my will is in order. I would make sure that I talk to my family members, perhaps one last time, and so forth. What's on your bucket list? Most of us don't, okay? We are not that old. But think of it. What would you do before you say goodbye? On mine, there could be many things, but I'd like to include time for prayer alone with God. Here's why. Why include that? Because that's exactly what Jesus did when he had only one day to live on earth. He prayed. Think of Jesus on the night before he was crucified. In his mind, he must have had similar concerns like yours and mine. This thing goes to so-and-so, and be sure to do this, and so forth. The usual stuff that we put in our wills. One of the things that he did after the Last Supper with his disciples, they all walked. They sang a hymn, and they all walked to their usual gathering place called Mount of Olives. Some of us have been to the Mount of Olives, right? And how big was it? Mount of Olives. It's not really, 2,000 feet. It wasn't like that. It was more like hill, right? Anyway, they went to the Mount of Olives, and particular place called Garden of Gethsemane. Small place. What did Jesus do there? He prayed. Because he was facing crucifixion on the following morning, and he was, the scripture says, in agony and grief. And he prayed fervently, the scripture says. Come to think of it, you know what? Jesus never solicited his disciples' help on anything. But that night he did. You know what he did? He asked them, would you please stay awake and keep watch with me? Pray with me. Let's consider one more time what he did that night. He prayed fervently, to the point of his sweat turning into blood. This is medically proven. If you're so much under stress and you're just agonizing, praying hard, then your sweat turns actually into blood. To the point where an angel from heaven came down to strengthen him, to assist him in prayer. You see, we can learn from Jesus that there are times that our prayer level needs go deeper than usual. There are two ways that we could do that. The first one is through fasting, means pray without eating food. Jesus did it. Second way is the earnest prayers, like he did the night before he was crucified. I think it is worth practicing on a regular basis, these two. Now, Hebrews 5:7, the scripture, summarizes quite well Jesus's prayer life like this. I quote, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Folks, when you are up against insurmountable challenges in your life, whether in physical health, let's say you're told by the doctor you have 3 months to live, or you're deep in trouble finances, so that you have to go, just bankrupt, to the point where you see no way out, to the point where you feel like you are done for your life, or you feel like ending your own life. From time to time we feel that way, do we not? Instead of ending your life, consider what Jesus did. Think of it. Jesus was facing the same thing last day in few hours. What he did is that he prayed fervently. Now, let me tell you one thing. If you do, before the life challenges, these two things like fasting and earnest prayers, you will truly encounter the living God. In other words, when you are so up against the challenges, do not give up. You keep praying. Try those things. And you will experience two things. The first one is not only God is alive, but also He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Now, I'm inviting you to walk with me to the Garden of Gethsemane and watch what Jesus was doing that night. The scripture says He prayed three times to His Heavenly Father to know God's will for Him. And I'm going to just present to you this morning three things that stand out in today's text. How Jesus prayed and what He prayed for. First of all, let's think about the posture He was taking when He was praying. Now, we seldom in America talk about prayer posture. When was the last time you hear someone saying that there is a proper posture for prayer? We seldom talk about it. Any posture will do it, right? Even lying in bed and driving in the car, basking in the sun, anytime, anywhere, and any posture, we would say. Does it really matter, we may ask, as long as our heart is engaged in thoughts and prayers? Normally I would say, really, it doesn't matter, as long as you pray. But you know what, today, if you think of the posture that Jesus took, you may think again. Was He standing when He was praying? Was He sitting on a rock? Was He strolling? Was He pacing back and forth? No. Scripture says He was on His knees. He knelt down and prayed. Now, I did some research on the scriptures, and without exception, all the prophets and kings in the Bible who prayed to the Lord, when they prayed, they were on their knees. They worshiped the Lord on their knees. King Solomon did it, so did Elijah, Ezra, Daniel, Peter, Paul. Even Jesus did it. There's something in it when you pray on your knees. Let's think about kneeling. That's the problem for us in America, isn't it? Because it is very uncomfortable. I mean, have you ever tried kneeling, even for 5 seconds? Very uncomfortable. We don't want to think about it. And in fact, most of us just give up on the idea of kneeling in prayer. Now, before we say that, Pastor Choi, don't ask me. I cannot kneel. I may not come back again after I kneel. Some of us feel that way. I want you to think of the reasons and benefits behind that posture of kneeling in prayer. This is what I've discovered. The Hebrew word for knees is birkaim. Hebrew word for blessing is baruch. Baruch, the blessing, and the knees share the common root. Think of it, blessing and knees. Any connection, but they share the same root. This is what I've discovered. We bless and adore God on our knees, and when God sees us on our knees, He blesses us. You see, knees and blessing, they just go together. Now, this is what I also discovered. In the scripture, knees generally meaning, it means your own strength. You know, this is medically proven fact as well. I never experienced myself. But let's say a tiger or lion roars in front of you, 3 foot away, roars. You surely would just go into fright. I was so frightened. And this is what happens when you're frightened. Number one, your heart melts. Number two, your hands like become so loose. Number three, your knees knocking. And number four, you pee. No, I don't want to make fun of it. It's just the medically proven facts, folks. Why all these things happen together? You know, when you are in fright, you lose confidence. You have no confidence in you whatsoever. And that's when your knees shaking and knocking. Knees represent your own strength and confidence. And there comes kneeling down before God. It means you voluntarily yield yourself to God, Lord. I do not rely on my own strength. Kneeling shows the utmost respect and humility before God, the Almighty. Kneeling before God in prayer gets us ready to engage in conversation with God once again in humility. If you consider prayer means entering into God's throne room, let me tell you, your knees get you in humility. Indeed, in every encounter with God and whenever we come into God's presence, humility is required. Perhaps I shared with you, if you want to see, have an audience with the Queen II, Elizabeth II in England, you know what you do? You see her, you never show your back. You have to walk backwards as you came in to show your respect. So we do show our respect to God in prayer, in humility, on our knees. You know, speaking of encounter with God, if you think of Moses, God called Moses through the burning bush. We all know that, right? Moses was curious. Why this burning bush burning? Right? So he went there and God says, Moses, Moses, this is what God said to him. Take off your shoes, for the place you are standing is holy ground. Humility is required when you see the Lord. Seems to me humility is like a WD-40 in your prayer. It makes our prayer time go much smoother. It prepares our heart before God. And guess what? It also prepares God's heart to pay attention to us and bless us. Humility begins with kneeling. Now, if you're able, try kneeling in your prayer and you will be blessed. Just remember the connection between knees and blessing. You need a good cushion put underneath your knees, okay, before you try. The second point I'm going to make this morning is that the words that Christ said, he said, "Thy will be done, not mine." I believe this is the fundamental attitude every believer should take in prayer. Your will be done, not mine. You know, typically what we do is that in our prayer, Lord, this is what I need and this is what I want you to help and do and all these things. And at the end we say, bye, until next time. But before you just shout, sign off, why don't you say in the end, Lord, not as I will, but as your will. Now, speaking of God's will, have you ever wondered how to know God's will for you, God's specific will for you? And I'm going to give you one clue today. Jot down John 7:17, Gospel according to John, chapter 7, verse 17. Easy to remember. Memorize it and meditate on it. This is what it says. Jesus saying, if anyone is willing to do God's will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. In other words, what Jesus saying is that, do you want to know God's will? Then get your heart ready to do God's will, whatever it may be. And you will know God's will right away. Remember Christ? That night he prayed 3 times. In a very short time. In about an hour. But you know what? He was able to find God's will very clearly because he was willing to do God's will, not on his own. Now, if you are not sure of God's will for you, seems like you need to at least ask 3 times. There is magic number 3. Jesus asked God to let him know 3 times, and so did Apostle Paul. You know, this is what Apostle Paul did. He must have some kind of terrible illness. Scholars believed either it was eye disease or epilepsy. So he went to the Lord, and he prayed for the healing of his illness. This is what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, he continues, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. So just keep praying at least 3 times if you want to know God's will. Now remember, prayer is a relationship. After years of praying, I hope you will get to the conclusion that the ultimate outcome of prayer is not getting what I want, but going deeper in our relationship with God. The ultimate outcome of prayer is going deeper in our relationship with God. The ultimate goal of our Christian life is to please the Heavenly Father and to fulfill His good will for us too. Think of Jesus again. In case of Jesus, what was God's will for Him? God's will for Him was to go to the cross, taking up all the sin of humanity, and pay the wages of sin once and for all through His suffering and death on the cross. After that night, after the prayer, Christ got resolute, determined more than ever before that He would fulfill God's will through and through. You know, come to think of it, in the eyes of humans, the cross is a terrible thing. It's a capital punishment. You know, in those days, a violent death, bleeding to death, several hours, and public disgrace. You're naked. That was the cross. Instead of sparing His only begotten Son from this horrible death, God the Father let Him go through, sent His Son to the cross. All for you and me. The cross was the ultimate test of Son's love for His Father. Christ passed it and He completed it. The cross was also the ultimate test of Father's love for you and me. The Father fulfilled it through and through. All for you and me. I often wonder, Lord, how and why I deserve such a great love of Yours. So much so that You sacrificed Your own Son to save me. That's an eternal mystery, isn't it? Prayer teaches us to learn of God's will, and prayer equips our heart with a resolution to do God's will no matter what, and prayer gives us courage to carry out God's given task even to the point of death. And prayer completes the joy of our relationship with God, where we say to God, Thy will be done. And last point, and I'll be done. I noticed in today's text, prayer thwarts temptations. You see, there is an inseparable connection between prayer and temptation. And look in today's text, if you read, how many times Jesus commanded His disciples to pray? Twice. What was the purpose of it? So that they may not fall into temptation. To me, prayer is a preemptive strike on temptation. Do you want to thwart temptations in your life? Then Christ says, pray. If anyone wants to stay away from temptation, would take Jesus' command very seriously, pray, pray, and pray. I'm not just repeating one word three times, but that's exactly what Christ meant in today's text. It is written in original Greek. The Greek people, very smart, they distinguish one-time action versus continuous action, using the different tense of the verb. In this case, it is called the present tense. They use the Greek word to pray, and present tense means continually pray. Keep on praying. Pray and pray on, so that you may not get into the temptation. Now, over the years of prayer life, this is what I've discovered. What prayer does to me, it's much more than just getting what you want. You see? Most of us think that way. When I'm in crisis, I go to God and ask for His help, and He helps me, and that's done. That's prayer? No. You know what? I think prayer does something to us, to our souls and our spirits. This is what I've discovered. Prayer sharpens our souls to be alert to temptations. You become very alert. You know, I have a smoke alarm in my kitchen. It's, you know, hung on the wall, high up there. Smoke alarm. It never fails to go off. To my great annoyance. Especially when my wife is cooking salmon in the oven. As soon as she opens the window, the oven door, and smoke comes out, boy, it never fails. Shrieking, you know, very shrieking. As much as it annoys me, I can trust in it. That it will not fail me. That's how the prayer works. It sharpens our soul to be alert to temptations. When temptations come, you know that, oh, it's coming. Prayer strengthens our inner soul to resist temptations, and prayer conditions our souls to be sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and it heightens our senses to the forces of temptation. Once again, think of Christ. That night, he was able to thwart the temptation of his own. What was it? To avoid the crucifixion, avoid the cross. According to his own word, he could have avoided it, but he didn't. Why? Because his spirit was so much in tune with God and his will through prayer. The opposite comes true if we do not pray, folks. Our spirit stays dull. Our soul remains asleep, that we become very vulnerable to temptations. We become easy targets of our enemy, the author of temptation. I want you to consider your life. If your life is pestered with temptations and mishaps, perhaps it's time that you check yourself if your prayer life is in order. Increase your time with God, and your soul and spirit will be aligned with God and His will, and then in turn, you'll be able to stay away from temptations. I'll say a few more words and I'll be done. The disciples that night, they all vowed to God. They knew that Christ was going to die the following day. They all vowed to God and Christ that we all go with you and we all die together with you. And all of them followed Jesus to the Mount of Olives, yet they did not follow him all the way through. For example, when Jesus invited them to pray together, they slept, they failed. When Jesus was arrested, they all fled away, abandoning him. Today, the same Jesus called you and me to follow him. Will you follow him to the Mount of Olives? Will you follow him to pray? Will you keep watch with him? And will you follow him to the cross? Let's bow heads and pray. Most of us, Lord, have been Christians, believers in you, for years. I believe it is time that we went deeper in our prayer, in our relationship with you. Speak to us today, Lord, that prayer is a relationship where we experience the living God one day at a time, every single day. In Christ's name we pray.